This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasleeman kathiran. Ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. The author, Ibn al-Qayyim Rahimahullah, he moves on to discussing what kind of soil and dirt or dust, clay, makes up Jannah. The dirt, the dust, the clay, what you find on the floor, the stones, and the structure, what it's all made of. That's what this chapter is about. Imam Ahmad has related this from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that we said, Ya Rasulullah, whenever we see you, our hearts become very soft, and we become the people of the Akhirah, the people of the hereafter. That's what we become. However, when we come away from you, then the dunya, the world attracts us, and we smell our women and our children. Essentially, we interact with our children and our women, and it's a different story then. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you were to be in the same state that you are when you are with me, then angels would shake hands with you with their own palms. Because that's a very special state that you become in when you are with me. That's a very special state. And the angels would actually come and visit you in your homes. However, then he said, he mentioned the wisdom of sinning and being distracted. He said that if you were never to sin, then Allah would bring about a people who would sin so that he could forgive them. This is obviously to comfort people that, look, if you do sin, then seek forgiveness. There's a Lord of yours that likes to forgive you. So then they said, Ya Rasulullah, can you tell us about Jannah and what it's made of? So he said, yes. He said, a brick of gold, a brick of silver. Its mortar will be of musk. And its pebbles, its stones will be al-lu'lu' wal-yaqut. This is pearls and rubies. وَالتُرَابُهَا الزَّعْفْرَانِ. And the soil there, the dust, the dirt on the floor is za'afran, saffron. Whoever enters will be forever happy and will never become unhappy. They will remain forever, they will never die. Their clothing will never become worn. Their youthfulness will never disappear. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there are three people whose du'as are never rejected. One is the just leader. Anybody who's in a leadership position who is just, because of the blessing of him being just, his du'as are accepted. We've seen some interesting examples of that in the recent past, right? And the sa'im, the fasting person until he breaks his fast. And the third person is the one who's being oppressed, if he makes a du'a. Such du'as, they are taken on the clouds, doors of heaven are opened up for them. And Allah says, by my might, I will assist you. I will assist you, even if it's after a while. But I will assist you. So now you have a number of, I'm not going to go through all of the ahadith. There's numerous ahadith we speak about what the soil and etc. of Jannah is about. But basically he mentions that the soil down there is going to be constituted of za'afran, of saffron. Another hadith which is related by Abu Nu'aym and others is one gold brick, one silver brick. Its soil is za'afran and the dirt there is of musk. The dust is of musk. So you have some narrations which say that the soil is za'afran and the dust is musk. And then in some it says the opposite. Essentially you've got this combination of musk and za'afran. So that's what, I don't want to repeat all the narrations to you. There's another narration in Sahih Muslim from Hammad ibn Salama. from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ibn Sa'id, there was a man there in Medina Munawwara who was a bit strange. He could tell things. And there were people who actually thought he was Dajjal at the time as well. He was a bit strange. They used to ask him questions and he used to give you half answers. And answers which seemed to have half the truth in them sometimes. Not the full truth, but half the truth. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him about the soil of Jannah. So he said, Darmakatun bayda. Darmaka is, you know, if you use very fine, soft, refined flour, you know, like really expensive, refined flour, that's what you call darmak. And anything that's like that, like soil that is extremely refined, think of really very refined sand. Darmakatun bayda, it's white. White, soft, refined soil. Miskun khalis. Then he says, Miskun khalis. That's what he said, this Ibn Sa'id, or Ibn Sayyad in another narration, says, it's fine, white, fine, soft soil, and pure musk. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's telling the truth. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah has another narration, again from Ibn Sayyad, that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the same answer was given about this. There's another narration from Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him and said, Ya Muhammad. This is just some kind of reporter. He says, Ya Muhammad, your companions have been defeated today. They were overwhelmed today, overcome. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ غُلِبُوا. How were they overcome? He said, oh, because the Yahud asked them a question. The Jewish people there, they asked him a question. What is the number of the guardians of hellfire? How many guardians of hellfire are there? So they didn't know. It's not something they've seen. So they said, لَا نَدْرِي حَتَّى نَسْأَلَ نَبِيَّنَا. We don't know until we ask our Prophet. So this is what the reporter explained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallam said that, what's that to do with being overwhelmed? How is that being dominated? أَيُغْلَبُ قَوْمٌ سُئِلُوا عَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ فَقَالُوا حَتَّى نَسْأَلَ نَبِيَّنَا. He said, how can you say that a people have been overcome if they're asked about something that they don't know, and their response is that, wait for us to ask our Prophet. But these people are, he said, what it is that these people are the enemy of Allah. They ask their own Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show himself to them openly. Because that's what they said. They said to Musa alayhi salam, we're not going to believe hatta nara Allah jahra, until we see Allah himself in his original form. Alayya bi'a'da illah. Bring these enemy of Allah to me. Because I will ask them about the turbatul jannah, about the soil of Jannah. And it is very fine and refined. He told the people around him already. Anyway, when they came, they said, oh, Abu al-Qasim, what is the number of guardians of hellfire? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then showed both of his hands like this, and then like that again, and then he put one finger in, which means 19. So he said, 10, and then 19. So 19. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the soil of Jannah made of? They started looking at each other and they said, khubzatun ya Abul Qasim. It's like bread flour. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, bread is made out of refined. So I think this may tie in with this Ibn Sayyad story, it seems. Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad has related this hadith. So now, when you look at all of these narrations together, many of them I didn't mention to you, but it discusses the soil and so on. One group of the Salaf said that the soil of Jannah is made up of two things. It's made up of musk and saffron. Made up of musk and saffron. What does that mean? Some say that the soil is from saffron, But when you mix it with water, it becomes like musk. Meaning the smell that it provides afterwards, it's like, because at the end of the day, musk is the smell. You've seen original musk, but there's no beauty in original musk in the sense of what, looking at it. It's the smell of it that matters. So when you mix this saffron with water, you're going to get the smell of musk. That's what he said. That's why he says, Milatuha al-misk. It's mortar. Mortar is generally a mixture to put the bricks together with. Mortar is of musk. That's why in one hadith clearly says, Turabuha za'afran wa tinuha al-misk. It's sand, its soil is za'afran wa tinuha, but it's clay. The mixture is musk. So that's how you understand it. So when its mixture is going to be so excellent and the water is going to be so excellent and you bring that together, then obviously it's going to come with the best of smells, and the best of smells you could explain is musk in those days anyway. And to be honest, musk is a smell that more people like than oud. Although oud, aloes wood, is a lot more expensive nowadays than musk is. But musk is a more pleasant smell. That you'd probably find more people that would like musky smell than they would like a oud smell. Only the very refined people understand what musk is. Sorry, what oud is. Because initially it has a very fecal kind of smell, and some people think that somebody's just done something. When the smell is there, like, is there an animal here or something? Is there dung or something here? But then the smell comes out, which is ajeeb. That's the way it is. Another meaning is that it's za'afran in terms of its color. It looks like za'afran, bright yellowish, fiery yellow. That's what za'afran looks like. It's this fiery yellow. But then its smell is like that of musk. So that's another way of putting these things together. Ibn Abi Dunya relates this beautiful hadith. It's related from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu through his chain. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ardul jannati bayda." The land, the ground in Jannah is white. Arsatuha sukhurul kafur. And its external area, its open yard, its courtyard, will be of rocks of camphor. It will be surrounded by misk, by musk, which will be like kuthbanur ramal, which will be like hills of sand. So there'll be hills of sand that will, sand dunes around, they will be musk. That's what it looks like. Fiha anhar, and there are numerous lakes in there that people will go to. Fayajtami'u fiha ahlul jannah adnahum wa akhirahum. And that is where the people of Jannah, from the beginning to the end, all of them will gather by this lake. Go to the lakeside, have a barbecue, that kind of an idea. Everybody will, فيتعارفون, they will recognize one another, look at one another, get to know one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send ريح الرحمة, a wind of mercy. And فتهيج عليهم ريح المسك, that will inspire upon them, that will create this fragrance of musk to come about them. They will get wafts of musk coming past them. Then after that, people will go back home. So a man will go back to his wife, and he would have increased in his beauty and his handsomeness and in his fragrance. So he comes back smelling way better and looking much better. So then his maidens will say to him, "When you left from me, I was already extremely excited by you, by how you looked and how you smelled. I'm ashaddu i'jaban. I'm even more attracted to you now because of how you are now." And this will just be constant every time they go down there. Which sounds to us in this world where we get tired of the same thing. You love a restaurant, you go there, you eat one day. Maybe you'll go the next day as well. But then somebody tells you, third day, "Come on man, I've had it for 2 days now." Whereas for that first time, your mouth was watering when you were about to go there the first time. But that's the way of the world. It withers immediately. That's why we have to keep buying new things. Right? And advertisers know exactly how to get it from us, so they indulge our greed. They encourage our senses. They tell you this is decadence. this is soft and beautiful. That's what they tell you, that this will make your mouth water, and it does make your mouth water, then you want to buy it. The next chapter, Ibn al-Qayyim deals with what kind of light in Jannah. Where are you going to get light from in Jannah? Is there, because there's supposed to be no sun around there. Sun is a thing of the past. Sun, you know, it's a fiery heat. It's a thing of the past. So what do you get in Jannah? What happens? So here there's a hadith that's related in, by Bazzar and Ibn Adi and others. Says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has created Jannah white. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ بَيْضَى وَأَحَبَّ الزِّيِّ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْبَيَاضِ. And one of the most beloved garments, appearances and dress to Allah is white. So فَلْيَلْبَسُ أَحْيَاءُكُمْ, your living should wear it, and you should also shroud your dead and your deceased in it. That's where we get the white from. Then ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِرِعَاءِ الشَّاءِ فَجُمِعَتْ. Then the Prophet ﷺ ordered that all the shepherds be brought together and gathered. And they were. And the Prophet ﷺ said that مَنْ كَانَ ذَا غَنَمٍ سُودٍ فَلْيَخْلِطْ بِهَا بِيضًا. Anybody who has just black goats or sheep, he should mix some white with it. So one woman came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have just black sheep, and I don't see that there's any benefit coming about. You know, when he said this, when the Prophet ﷺ said you should have some white sheep as well, she kind of made some connection, it seems. And she said, look, I've got only black, and I don't see that they are, there's any blessing, they're not increasing in any way. So he says, Afiri, which means add some white to it. That's why there's another hadith which is related that Khalid al-Zamil, the son of Simak. So Simak, he relates from his father Simak that he met Abdullah ibn Abbas in Medina Munawwara in his older age after his eyesight had gone. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So he said, Ya ibn Abbas, can you tell me about the land of paradise, the grounds, how it's going to look like? So he said that it's going to be white, like silver, كَأَنَّهَا مِرْآتْ, like a mirror, sparkling. قُلْتُ مَا نُورُهَا, where's it going to get this light from? So when he said it's going to be sparkling, so he asked the question, where does the light come from? So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that you've seen the time just before the sunrise. There's no sun, right? But there's a brightness, you know, because when you get Fajr time, essentially what is Fajr time? Fajr time is that the sun is creeping up behind the horizon, and it's light, indirect light. It's essentially indirect light of the sun. It hasn't come above the horizon, but it sent its light forward. Then when the sun comes, then you get like a bright yellow light. And the light at dawn, which is the light of dawn, essentially what we're speaking about, what color is the light of dawn? It's just white. So that's what he said. He says, you know the time before the sun rises? Have you seen that time? فَذَلِكَ نُورُهَا. That's going to be like the light of Jannah. Because there's going to be no shams, there's going to be no heat, and there's going to be no extreme cold as well. لَا شَمْسٌ وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. Zamharir is extreme cold. And then he mentioned the rest of the hadith. So there is going to be a source of light, but it's going to be an indirect light, it seems, because everything else will be sparkling. Because you might be thinking, because the question does arise that, you know, that light at dawn time, Fajr time light, the late Fajr time light, just before sunrise, it's just white light. There's no sparkle in there because there's no sun. The sun provides a yellow in there, right? So what is that going to be all about? Well, you don't need it. You don't need any more than that, because everything will have its own shimmer and sparkle because of what it's made of. So there's intrinsic light within every product out there. So you don't need any other light. Because if you have that bright light, if you have a bright light source in a place that has its own light, what happens when you put on an overhead projector? You put down the other lights, right? Otherwise, it causes fade in that picture. So everything will have its own sparkle. That's why that's my understanding anyway. That's why you don't need this sunlight from outside. It's just so finely tuned like that. So like the best light technicians have dealt with this issue, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just created it to give the absolute best appearance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the sun and the moon, they're going to be now prevented. They're not going to come around. فَلَا يَرَوْنَ مِنْهُمَا وَاحِدًا فَلَا يُرَوْنَ مِنْهُمَا وَاحِدًا None of them will be sighted anymore. قَالَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَبِمَا نُبْصِرْ How are we going to see then? Because in the world we see through the sun or the moon, right, generally. قَالَ بِمِثْلِ بَصَرِكَ فِي سَاعَتِكَ هَذِي Just like you see right now in this time of, you know, this was around the sunrise time. This is the way you see the mountain. This is you're going to see it like that. So don't worry, you will see, though there's going to be no sun and moon. Sunan Ibn Majah, there's a narration in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, beautiful narration. Says that Usama Ibn Zayd radiAllahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala hal mushammirun lil jannah? Is there anybody ready for paradise? Who's prepared for paradise?" And then he started describing paradise. He said, paradise, la khatara laha. There is no fear, danger, or anything related to paradise. Here, wa rabbil ka'ba nurun yatala'la. Paradise is a light which is shimmering. It is a light which is shimmering. It is fragrant. It is like these beautiful flowers that are just waving. Wa qasrun mashid. These are fortified palaces, lakes, ripe fruits, yarhamukallah, ripe fruits, and beautiful and handsome partners, spouses, many, many garments and clothing, and an abode there, a residence there forever in an abode of peace. وَفَاكِهَةٍ وَخُدْرَةٍ And also beautiful flowers and fruits and greenery and bounties. فِي مَحَلَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ بَهِيَّةٍ In these beautiful, shining, high palaces. قَالُوا نَعَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ They said, yes, of course, Ya Rasulallah. نَحْنُ الْمُشَمِّرُونَ لَهَا We are all prepared for this. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, if that is the case, قُولُوا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ Say, inshaAllah, if Allah wills. So the people said, inshaAllah. InshaAllah. May Allah make it a reality. May Allah make it a reality. Now to carry on with this discussion, the next discussion logically then is what are its rooms like? What does its actual structure look like? You know, because you see that it's got some structure that's made out of gold and silver bricks. But then there's more to it than that. There will be other dwelling places because it seems like it's an open place. Lots of garden, green, because that's what Jannah means. It's just so lush that it's got rivers and everything flowing through it. But then you're going to have places there that for privacy. So what are these places? So it's almost like you've got this huge garden and within it you've got these different places you can go and rest in. And they're made of these huge pearls that have been hollowed out. So in this world, pearls are very small. They're like a chickpea. That's how pearls are, right? Now this is massive. You'll see what it says in these narrations. They've been hollowed out and that's what it is. Now pearl has its own shine. If you're any kind of light that hits it, it glimmers. That's what it's made of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ لَهُمْ غُرَفٌ مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ مَبْنِيَّةٌ Surah Az-Zumur, that those people who fear their Lord, for them are rooms one above the other. You say rooms here, it doesn't talk about small rooms here where we ask, is it a double bedroom or a single bedroom? Right? Can you get one bed in there? Can you get two bed in there? How many people can you sleep in there? This is talking about some serious rooms here. Right? They're fully built. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are ghurafun fawqa ghuraf. These are rooms one above the other. And they've been made. So that nobody thinks that these are just some metaphorical expressions here. That's why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجَزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا those people will be given as a reward these places of residence because of their patience. Because of their patience. What is the patience? Their patience was basically, subhanAllah, we're dealing with it every day. Somebody saying something about Islam or the other. Somebody abusing Muslims. Somebody saying something weird to Muslims. You know, basically dealing with the foolish on a day-to-day basis. Sabr. That you still keep your faith despite this. Because there are so many people who get tired of this and says, what's the point of being a Muslim? We're like the underdogs here. We're the ones constantly being criticized, reviled, sworn at and cursed. But no, you still keep a pride, right? Because you know that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test is to you. So Allah subhanahu, that's why you get this. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا, because of the sabr and the perseverance that they have. Allah says, وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَهُمْ فِي الْغُرُفَاتِ آمِنُونَ. They will be safe in these rooms. He speaks about these غرفة, غرف, which is these places of residence. That's why Allah, that's in Saba, Surah Saba. Then Allah says in Surah Al-Tahrim, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you your sins. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, and enter you into gardens, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, beneath which rivers flow. Now you know, whenever you read the Quran, جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, anhar means nahar, means a river, under which rivers flow. وَمَسَاكِنَ الطَّيِّبَةِ, and these excellent places of residence, excellent places of abode. فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ, in this paradise. That's why the wife of Pharaoh mentions, makes a dua in the Quran, Surah Al-Tahrim. Actually, the second verse that I read was Surah Al-Saff. This one is from Surah Al-Tahrim. رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. My Lord, make for me a house in paradise. So Imam Tirmidhi has related from Sa'd ibn from Ali radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in paradise there will be residences, places of residences, rooms you call them, right? Apartments. Yura dhuhuruha min butuniha. Its outside can be sighted from the inside, and its outside can be seen from the inside. فَقَامَ أَعْرَابِي. So this desert Arab Bedouin got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, لِمَنْ هِيَ, who are these four? So the Prophet ﷺ then explained who these are for. He says, لِمَنْ طَيَّبَ الْكَلَامِ, for the one who does excellent speech, who always keeps his speech excellent, who's not derogatory, who's not vulgar, who's not filthy, who's always very beautiful in his speech. وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ, and who feeds, who feeds, who likes to give food to people. So you can see this is a very charitable individual, both in terms of his hands and also in terms of his tongue. وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامِ, for himself, he is perpetually fasting, he's fasting. وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ, prays at night while others are asleep. That's for such person, these beautiful homes will be in paradise. Numerous other narrations. I'm going to read one other narration here from Sahih Muslim and Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the believer in paradise will be a khaymah. Khaymah is generally a tent. Now this is going to be some super luxury tent, not your normal, like, you know, plastic tent or something. This is going to be some serious tent. You know, even Qaddafi used to live in a tent, but it was like a royal tent. So this is going to be Jannah, a tent of Jannah. What is it going to be made of? Min lu'lu'atin wahidatin mujawwafatin. One single hollowed out pearl. Imagine the size of this. Tuluha sittuna milan. Now if you think it's just gonna, you know, we're talking about how many people it sleeps, right? Because you know, if you go to buy a tent, it tells you sleeps four, sleeps six, sleeps eight maybe maximum, right? This one, tuluha sittuna milan. 60 miles long. 60 miles long. And what is it? It doesn't come just like an empty tent. It comes with everything inside it, because, you know, this is talking about Like more than 5-star we're talking about here, right? لِلْمُؤْمِنِ فِيهَا أَهْلُونَ يَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And for the believer will be a family in there. أهل, meaning wives, spouses in there. فَلَا يُرَى بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. But there'll be so many, but it looks like they will all have their own enclosures. So each one of them will not see the other. So he can go to whichever one he wants. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a Sahih narration that whoever builds a masjid for Allah, Allah builds him a house in paradise. Now do you suddenly see the house in paradise, the value of that house in paradise? Because you know, generally when we say house, we think of house here, right? And we say, okay, it's good. Right? Having another house is good. But here, once you've described the house, now you understand what the benefit of your donation is to the masjid. Who builds a masjid for Allah, Allah builds him that kind of a house in paradise. Abu Musa, there's another narration, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the person who praises Allah and who says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, at the death of his child. You know, like somebody's child passed away. So the person said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Who dealt with it in the right way. Doesn't freak out. Right? Allah will say, make for my servant, ibnu li abdi baytan fil jannah, make for my servant a house in paradise, and wasammuhu bayt al-hamd. Call it, give it the name, bayt al-hamd, the house of praise, because he has praised me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There's a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa and Aisha radiallahu anha that Jibreel alayhi salam once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said that, you know, Khadija, give her salam from her Lord and tell her that he gives her the glad tidings of a house in Jannah made of qasab. Now, qasab means, in the world, qasab means cane. Because you know, cane are those round sticks that are hollowed in the middle. They're very good for building. But the qasab in Jannah is different. He just used that word because he said, لا سخب فيه ولا نصب. That his house will be made of qasab. There'll be no sakhab or nasab. Sakhab means there'll be no wailing and crying and loud noise. Wala nasab, and there'll be no difficulty. So I think he just used the word qasab for that reason. And the other thing is that because it's hollow, he said because the qasab here relates to hollowed out pearl. That's the house that she will get. And she's already been given the glad tidings. She's been given a certificate for it. She has the deed for it, basically. Ibn Abi Dunya relates from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in Jannah there will be a palace made out of pearl. And there'll be no headache, nothing that you will experience in there. It'll be just a beautiful place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this specially for his Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam. There's numerous other narrations about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing the house of Umar radiallahu anhu, which we've read before. A'mash relates with his chain, he says that in Jannah there will be palaces made out of gold, palaces made out of silver, and palaces made out of pearl. So these are different ones. Also palaces made out of ruby, palaces made out of sapphire. So you take your pick basically. You know, you have a summer palace and you have a winter palace and you have this palace and that palace. It's just like that. Some people have a holiday home, you know. Some people have this home, that home. And when you get kings, they have one palace in this country, one in this country, that place, this palace. So here you've got numerous palaces. And I don't think there you have to worry about, hey, bring my laptop from that one. You know, bring this from that one, carry everything over. You'll have the facility wherever you go. It'll all be like so well smartly connected that you are just, wherever you are, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to carry anything with you. And subhanAllah, the world is going in that direction to show us what all of these things, how simple they're going to be in the hereafter. Because that's where the world is getting, isn't it now? That's why A'mash has another narration. He says, the lowest person in Jannah will have a residence made out of a single pearl. And from it will be made its rooms and its doors. This is the understanding of these tabi'een, that this is what they've understood from these narrations. And we're talking about people carving from mountains. This is talking about a massive pearl, and then all of this is being carved out of that. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this other narration from the Fawaid of Ibn al-Sammak. He says that it's related from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, should I tell you about the residences of Jannah? Of course, Ya Rasulullah. Our mothers and fathers be sacrificed for you. So then he said, in Jannah, there will be residences made out of all different types of jewels. So that's where you get your made out of your sapphire and ruby and all these other precious stones. And it will be such that it will be made in such a way that the outside can be seen from the inside, but the inside from the outside. But there'll still be privacy. This is just so that you don't have to go inside to see it. You can see it from outside for yourself. In it will be na'im wa ladhat ma la aynun ra'at wa la udhunun sami'at. And in there will be such bounties and pleasures that no eye has ever seen or no ear has ever heard of. So then they said, Ya Rasulullah, who's going to get these? Who are these for? So then the Prophet ﷺ explained, and subhanAllah, may Allah give us a tawfiq for these actions. He says, liman afsha salam, for the one who spreads the salam, who likes to feed food. Right, give food, who fasts regularly, and who prays at night when people are sleeping. So then we said, Ya Rasulullah, who can do all of this? So he said, my ummah can do this. Who can do all of this? He said, my ummah can do this, and let me tell you about this. So then he explained, and this is the beautiful part here. He then explained how you can do all of these things. Right? He says, when any of you meets his brother on the street or wherever, فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ, he does salam to him, or responds to him salam, فَقَدْ أَفْشَى السَّلَامِ, he has spread the salam. It doesn't mean you have to go and like start spreading salam, like salam, 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 hey, salam, 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 salam. You know, it's not like that. It's like you meet somebody, you say, salamu alaykum. You respond. So essentially you keep that interaction, that greeting has to be salam every time you meet somebody. That's not difficult, is it? Unless you're arrogant, it's easy to do. Why should it be a problem? So every time you don't feel like giving somebody salam, just think, I'm losing my chance for paradise here. He said, just think of it that way. Then he says, now about feeding food. Look how simple the Prophet ﷺ makes it. He said, the one who feeds his family, his wife and children, until they are satisfied, then he has fed. He has fulfilled this. At'am at'am. Now, it sounds like, you know, you're going to have to give big da'wats when you first read it. It's like you have to have these big, big invitations where you feed huge amounts of people. That's what you think first. And you have to be just peppering everything with salam, salam, salam everywhere, right? But no, look, the Prophet made it so easy. He said, just make salam to everybody you meet. And just feed your own family properly. And whoever fasts Ramadan, and then 3 days from every month, then he has perpetually fasted. Again, this is making it simple, right? And the praying at night. Now, most of us will be thinking this is talking about tahajjud. And no doubt, it definitely refers to tahajjud because most people are asleep at tahajjud time, right? But this one, he says, and the ones who pray Salatul Isha in Jama'ah, that means he has performed prayer at night while people are sleeping. And who are we talking about? People of other faiths who don't stay awake to that time to pray. Now, I know we live in different times where we have so much artificial light sources that people sleep very late and so on. But here it's obviously speaking about people who are not there for the worship of Allah, but they are indulging in something else. That is beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, because that's easy to do. So the next time you don't feel like doing it. Now the only thing, see, because we generally give salam to people, a lot of people that give salam to each other. Feeding your family. And number three was the fasting. So we've done Ramadan, now it's just about adding 3 days. It's not much really. Adding 3 days and then praying Isha in the masjid. Those are the two things which we need to do. Allah make it easy for us. And then you can say on this day, the 27th of July, what is the Islamic date today? The 21st of Ramadan. Sorry, the 21st of Shawwal. Right? We heard this hadith. This is what was explained. So this is what we've been doing. Where's our special places in Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. وَأَخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ